Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Bulls Talk Podcast. I am Kevin Anderson alongside our Bulls insider, Vince Goodwill. I want to start by just apologizing to Kendall Gill because we're taping this right now after the report comes out that the Bulls will match the 4-for-78 deal that the Kings offer sheet had with Zach LaVine. The three of us, you, me, and Kendall, recorded a wonderful, glorious podcast before that news came out. But now we got to redo it. And that's just the price of doing business. That's how it works.
The price of doing business, huh? Mm-hmm. That is an interesting term right now, isn't it?
It is. Oh. So let's start. So apologies to Kendall Gill. Maybe we can find a way to get him in because he had some really good stuff. But let's start with obviously the big news in Bulls Nation right now. They decided to match. They didn't wait too long to match. This was probably a foregone conclusion they were going to match. Is there any doubt in your mind that they even were going to not let this happen, not let it match?
I don't think so. I mean, I just think when you look at some of the numbers, you know, that I've been privy to, you know, as far as the Bulls negotiations with Zach, there wasn't much difference, I would say, when you look at the life of the contract that the Bulls should, my thing is it shouldn't have got to this point. And I understand that it's a business and everything else, and it's certainly not my money, so I can't be, you know, controlling anybody's purse strings. But yeah, I didn't think there was any real doubt that it would come to this. Now, like you said, we've talked about what's the point that you would say, you know what, this isn't going to happen. Clearly, $78 million wasn't it. But
4-for-90?
I guess that's something we'll have to ask John Paxson and Gar Forman.
And you think you're going to get an answer?
Don't we always get straight answers yeah. from those guys all the time?
Yeah, like I would love, in fact, when they have this press conference on Monday or Tuesday, when they have to make it a big deal, will you do me a favor? Will you ask, with Zach next to him, Gar, maybe Pax, if the Kings had offered him 4-for-90, what would your response have been?
So you're challenging me to ask a question that you know I would ask anyway, right? All right, gee, thanks. But no, I think by the time that they are presented to the public, hopefully they will have had some level of conversation and dialogue where concerns from both sides.
Possible bad feelings from both sides.
Yeah, concerns will have been smoothed out a little bit. Obviously, the Bulls had concerns about, you know, whether it's his longevity, whether it's his skill set, whatever it is, they were not ready to make a full commitment of $80 million in their mind without competitor. And Zach, in his mind, in his camp's mind, didn't feel as valued from the beginning as he did in the beginning, rather, when they first traded for him here and he was marked as the centerpiece of the Jimmy Butler trade and everything else. And you can certainly, now, I know there were people who make the argument that maybe he's not as good as they projected him to be to begin with. And he'll have a chance to prove that whether he had this contract or not. He was going to have a chance to prove that he was the player that he was going to be on the road to being before that knee surgery. So my thing is, if you believed in your scouting that Zach LaVine was good enough to be a franchise centerpiece while he was rehabbing an ACL injury, then you have to give him the chance to prove that he's not.
He is being Zach, gave the quote to Mark Spears, something to the effect of that he felt wanted and loved by the Kings, mm-hmm. by this offer.
Yeah.
Now, that in itself is fine, but it's not in a vacuum. And it implies that he did not get that feeling from the Bulls and their front office. So there seems to be a little bit of hard feelings here. Is this something that has a chance to linger, or do you think come training camp and after they get in a room together over the next 4 days and talk, that everything will be smoothed over? Like, how much of an issue is this right now?
Well, it always has a chance to linger, but Zach doesn't strike me as petty. He does strike me as driven and competitive, and who will take a slight and try to turn it and use it to his advantage. So in the end, it could turn out in a similar manner that it did for Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler turned himself into a max player because they didn't want to give him an extra $4 million over the life of 4 years. And you could say that the Bulls benefited from that because of his production, most improved player, and all this other type of stuff. But you wonder if those feelings are worth the production that you may wind up getting on the back end. The thing with the Kings is they saw Zach LaVine, you know, put it on them a few times, but they don't know him in the way that the Bulls know him and have had him in their building every day for a year, working, recovering, all these other things. You know, the Kings, sure, could look at his medical records and things like that, you know, and see that, okay, this is where the knee is, it takes 18 months, all this other type of stuff. But a lot of things, you're going sight unseen. So it's going to feel like it's more or worth more if the team that has you doesn't offer you that from the jump. That's human nature. No matter where we work, or you're always going to feel like the employer that you work for should value you more than any other outside entity.
We both follow Twitter a lot. You daily get people telling you to go back to Detroit.
Clearly.
The polarizing nature of Zach LaVine is a little surprising to me. And I would consider him, within the fan base, it to be this, you either think the Bulls should have matched or you think they're insane for matching. Why do you think he is so polarizing? Is it because of the small sample size that we saw him play last year? Because he was part of the Jimmy Butler trade and he's supposed to be the centerpiece of that trade? Why do you think the fan base is so reactionary to what the Bulls are doing with him?
I think it's, in all seriousness, and we do a lot of joking around, I think it's just the fact that the public at large does not trust the Bulls front office decisions. And the way that Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf have confidence in John Paxson and Gar Foreman, the public does not. And you can argue whether that is founded or not, but there's a healthy amount of skepticism, whether it's media or whether it's just fan reaction. And some people will tell you that it's media driven and the fans sort of react off of the media. But I do think that the fans have, especially here, they have a smart enough, you know, sense of what competitive basketball, you know, looks like. And even though they're far removed from the Jordan era, those memories still linger. You can be a generation removed and still have a keen enough sense of that. So I think there's a part that anytime Gar and Pax jump in front and say, we are behind this person, the public is going to say, nah, he's probably not that good. Just because there's a general level of, I don't know, say distrust, but healthy skepticism.
Sure. And so,
when you factor in Zach playing 24 games, when you factor in Zach coming off an ACL surgery, and not just the Bulls in their history of ACL surgery, but the city in their history with ACL surgeries. They went through, lived and died with their hometown kid, Derrick Rose, going through this, hoping and wishing and praying that he was going to return to form. And this fan base is still very scarred by that. So I think that's a big part of it, too.
Do you think there is part of the whole idea of waiting for LaVine to set the market himself, to go out there? If the Bulls had, on day one, said 4 for $78, Zach signs it, that's the new deal, there'd probably be a large part of the fan base that goes, they way overpaid, that he was no way getting that on the open market. But instead, he signs an offer sheet for Sacramento, and the Bulls can say, hey, this is what the market dictated that his value was, and we felt like it was the right thing to match the offer.
The one thing you can't do is operate in the sphere of what public perception should be. I think that's a dangerous, dangerous way to operate. Because, yes, people will say, use the logical terms, only 4 or 5 teams had money. Nobody was really, you know, nobody's going to come at him and offer a guy a year removed from ACL surgery the entire bag.
We know that the market for RFAs this summer was very thin.
True. Here's the other side of that. Public perception, to me, doesn't matter as much as the relationship. So to me, even if you pay a couple of million more, you're not up against the luxury tax or anything like that, and you probably won't be over the next couple of years.
Nowhere close.
Nowhere close to it. So if you overpay a million or two here or there, once again, not my money, to make sure, you know, to make sure that something, you know, to preserve a relationship.
So there are no bad feelings.
So there are no, because there can be, because there has been, right? It's always in narrative and optics. It's the one thing that we've consistently talked about with this franchise since I've been covering this team, and it's something that I couldn't even have noticed when I was still in Detroit. Derrick Rose to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler to this. There's always, like, I won't say a transition, but there's always, I won't even say overselling, but there's always like a little mascara from one situation to the next, and then it comes back to bite you just enough that it stops you from progressing where you need to go.
So where we are with Zach right now, he is now essentially the face of the franchise. He is the team's highest paid player.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to likely be the focal point of Fred Hoiberg's offense.
Should be.
When we go back in training camp, certainly with apologies to Lauri Markkanen, will certainly get his touches and get his points. How much pressure is going to be on Zach now, especially this first year, to prove he is worth that contract?
You see, here's where, to some degree, the pressure is eased. It's pressure on him to perform, not to win. Like, nobody's expecting this Bulls team as currently constituted to realistically win games. Now, do you have to be competitive? Do you have to show progress? Absolutely. Does Zach have to be a better all-around player? By his own admission, he'll tell you that. He expects to be a much better basketball player. He's a man with immense pride. We saw that when we did our, you know, some of our sit-downs with him earlier in this season. He doesn't have the gruff exterior of Jimmy Butler, but he certainly, I think, has a certain level of pride that goes there. And I think that will help him. Now, because there's no expectation to perform and win, that means you can put up your numbers. And you can say, I'm doing my part. And it's incumbent on the team to say, are these winning numbers? Well, we can build around it. Or are these just numbers because somebody has to get them? That's the space that he's in now, where once you start producing at $19 million a year or $19.5, then it goes into, okay, let's put these numbers in context. And then it goes into, let's see where the organization goes from here. So it's not where you breathe a sigh of relief. You smile on the first and 15th. But you ain't breathing a sigh of relief. It's just now it's time for the next challenge. And I think that's where Zach is.
The thing I like about this deal, it's they didn't grossly overpay
for
Zach. It's also, if you get down to you taking the fact his age, his skill set, it's also a tradable contract, too, given where the salary cap is. This isn't a Luol Deng with the Lakers or Joakim Noah with the Knicks type contract where a guy's on the wrong end of 30 and his career is clearly in the decline. Zach is... will be 25 next season. So he's got a lot he can do. Last one for you. Where this team is now, we have a young core of LaVine, Dunn, Markkanen, and now Wendell Carter. Whether you consider them a fringe playoff team or not, I know you don't. How far away are we talking one free agent and one hitting on another draft pick, two free agents? How many moves are they from being Eastern Conference title contender?
I won't say how many moves they are away because I generally operate under the assumption that young teams don't win. And you can go back and look at, you know, some of the tomato cans the Bulls of Michael Jordan's yore used to beat up on. The Washington Bullets with middle career Rod Strickland, young Chris Webber, young Calvert Chaney, young Juwan Howard, sweep. New Jersey Nets, our Kendall Gill, right? Sam Cassell, Kerry Kittles, Jason Williams, young team. Young teams don't win. I don't think they're at that particular level. They can very well be in the conversation, but they aren't there yet. I think when you talk about them being a playoff team, and we joke about it and everything else, Lauri Markkanen turns to a top 10 power forward. Zach LaVine turns to a top 10 shooting guard. In my opinion, you have to have at least two guys who are in the top 10 of their positions, along with two other guys who are in the top half of their position. And then you sort of go from there. If you look at every playoff team over the past 2 years on either side, east or west, they've had players who have fit that bill. And sometimes there are teams on the outside looking in who have players that fit that bill and don't make the playoffs. So I think that's a bare minimum. And then you start figuring it out. I think this year is more about internal development more than anything else. There shouldn't, from this media member, shouldn't be a whole lot of pressure on them making the playoffs next year. Because I didn't see enough last year to say that they should make it this year.
So I mentioned earlier that we had recorded a podcast with Kendall Gill prior to the news of the Bulls saying they will match the offer. We asked Kendall, does he think that Zach LaVine is a future All-Star? Here's what Kendall had to say.
I think he's a future All-Star.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, look, he's going to have free reign. He's going to have a contract. He has talent. He's young. He has the will. The kid works hard. He's not going to have any constraints on him at the beginning of the season or throughout the season. All that being said, I don't think that the Bulls thought that. To answer your question, I don't think that they thought that or think of him in the light that I think of him. If they had a thought that, they would have given him the contract right away.
And not let Sacramento
even entertain giving him an offer.
So, Vinny, Kendall thinks he's an All-Star. What's your opinion? Future All-Star.
I mean, put it like this. When you look at the shooting guards in the Eastern Conference, and those are, as long as the East-West format stays the same, you're talking about Bradley Beal. You're talking about DeMar DeRozan. To me, that should be the type of class of player that Zach LaVine is in. You're talking about Victor Oladipo. And he mentioned to me at the end of the season, Victor Oladipo and the jump that Vic made from Oklahoma City to Indiana. And him wanting to make that similar type of leap. They gave him the ball. They gave him the freedom to play, even though he's a shooting guard, not a point guard. And they let him go out there and make plays. And if Zach sees that for himself, to me, that's going to be the standard that I as a media member and we as a public should hold Zach to, because that's what he sees for himself. So should he have all-star dreams as an individual, all-star expectations? Absolutely he should. From a talent standpoint, there's not a whole lot that he can't do. Now, if he focuses on defense, you know, off the ball, I think on the ball defense, he's fine. I think off-the-ball defense is where he has to put the work in at. But he has good vision offensively. He can shoot the basketball from 30 feet. Assuming his athleticism is back, he's going to be finishing over the top of guys. So at that point, it's a matter of, is he going to be a post player, mid-level player, someone that the coach can run different things for? To me, it's going to be incumbent upon seeing what type of role that he has on the perimeter. And then you'll figure out whether he's an all-star type of player.
Quick correction, LaVine is 23. He'll be 24
yes.
in March of next season. So my opinion on that is if he was in the West, it'd be really tough to crack that all-star rotation. But where the Eastern Conference is, because of his age, because of the points he's going to put up on this team, we know that the all-star teams tend to favor teams that are winning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be his biggest challenge is if you're on a team that's only winning 30% of your games and you're averaging 27 a game, sometimes you get left off. And we know how – you know, Dame Lillard's struggled to get in the All-Star game in the Western Conference, and he's been very deserving. Last thing, in terms of what you consider a success from this team next season, I think we all would say an 8 seed would be a rounding success, but what do you want to see from Zach and from this team next year?
I just want to see – what I want to see is less macro, more micro. Little things like Chris Dunn improving on his feel for the game and realizing when to take chances and improving at the rim and set shooting and things like that. Larry Markkanen getting stronger, having a more diverse offensive game, which I think he's going to have, right? Wendell Carter, let's see exactly. I want to see how he is defensively. Like, I think to me that's more of a, I won't say anxiousness, more curiosity I have for him. Chandler Hutchinson, let's see if you are this all-around player. Like, he may be older than Zach LaVine.
Right.
You know, so you're coming in with a certain amount of polish. So to me, and then on Fred Hoiberg's part and the coaching staff's part, that's where I put overall team growth. I put that on the coaching staff because as a young player, it's your job to get better individually. As a coaching staff, it's their job to get you to play together collectively and to play winning basketball. As a player, you can play winning basketball on a losing team, but we know that you have winners and tangibles, so to speak. So I'm curious to see how those things mix together, if it can mix together.
We talked about pressure on being on Zach LaVine. Within the entire Bulls organization, is the most pressure next season on Fred Hoiberg?
Absolutely. I really think so. I mean, when you look at the fact that this team was turned over, he's had three different teams in 3 years. If you look at from year one, that Derrick Rose was still here. They were running it back. The next year was the Rondo and Wade and Butler and all that. Then last year, you turn it over. There's going to be more continuity, so to speak, from last year to this year. And last year, I said it and people thought I was crazy. Last year was the honeymoon for Fred. He could do no wrong, essentially. They start out 3-20. Did we get mad after? Did anybody call for Fred?
Not at all.
If anything, we were like, man, Fred's over there walking a green mile.
So you tell me if they start off 3-20, you better not make Christmas Eve and Christmas plans?
Man, I'm going to tell you like this now. If they start off 3-20, they better do it before Christmas Eve. Save me, all right? December 15th. How about that?
December 15th, I like that.
Fred will tell you, if Fred is 3-20 next year and short of Lauri Markkanen busting his head open and not being able to play, which, given the Bulls luck, who knows what's going to happen. But short of anything catastrophic, they should not start off that way. And I'm sure Fred will tell you himself that he doesn't expect to start off that way next season.
Let's hope that doesn't happen for all our sakes. We want at least a competitive team to cover and a team that's going to be fun to watch. For Vincent Goodwill, I'm Kevin Anderson. Thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play. Kendall Gill, thank you for coming in and being part of the show, even though we had to redo most of it after you left. Thanks for listening. Next week, we'll talk about Summer League and Hutchinson and certainly Carter and how they did in Las Vegas over the weekend. And hopefully we've got good news to report on that. Have a good weekend, everybody.